Certainly, it was an encouragement to Crystal and I as we are listening to you read our missionary, the missionary prayer letters. I know that the missionaries are held in front of you, and you pray for us, and we sure need that. So it was even though you didn't read our letter, it was encouragement to us. It's okay. I know there. There was one church, it was my father-in-law's church, that they do something similar, and he had me read my own letter in front of the church, and I was like, that was a little awkward. And but anyways, I do appreciate that. The Landy family and are good friends from college days, so it was encouraging to hear about them. We hadn't seen them since they were on deputation. So I appreciate your love for missions and missionaries and your care of us. We sure appreciate that. John chapter 2 this evening. John chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 23. John chapter 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did, which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. This evening, with the Lord's help, we'll be looking at the measure of our faith. The measure of our faith. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. Help me tonight as I preach. I pray, Lord, would you prepare hearts for your message, your word this morning, this evening. I ask that you would bless the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was in Washington State, I was there working at Lighthouse Baptist Church in Anacortes, Washington. And I went up there about a year after I graduated Bible college. It took me a year. There was offers, of course. I was praying about where to go. And the Lord was saying no to all these other churches. And he said yes to this one at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And so I went up there. And it was a small church. They couldn't afford to pay me a full-time salary. So I worked a job. Luckily, I worked at Sam's Club while I was going to Bible college and just transferred to a Walmart that was up there nearby. And so that was easy. And so that first 2 year was I was missions intern. And then the next year, I was in Kenya watching the ministry for my parents. And while I was there, I realized though my willingness was there and I wanted to be in Kenya, I needed a wife. I'm not trying to put any plugs for anything for any of the single guys that may be around here, but I did need a wife, and so I began praying for a wife, and it took me a few more years to find her. A total of 13 years up in Washington State as assistant pastor, and while we were there at that church, there was a guy next door. His name was Rob, and he had a motorcycle repair shop. Harley Davidsons were his specialty, but he would work on any kinds of Gold Wings or Victories or whatever. And he worked on motorcycle shops. And I remember going out to the church, mow the grass or do whatever work that needed to be done during the week. And I'm hearing this motorcycle sounding like it was about to blow up. I mean, the RPMs, it was just revving. I was like, what is going on? And it sounded like it went on forever. And so after it shut off, I saw Rob right next door and I said, hey, what was that? And he said, oh, it's my dyno machine. I was like, dyno? And he was explaining to me that it's a machine he hooks up these motorcycles to, and he revs it real high, and it gives him a readout on everything. And, you know, I don't know all that it gives out, but it gives all this technical detail that puts it out, and so he can see what is out of tune, and so that he can do work and be specifically finely tuned this machine. And I was like, okay, well, that's very interesting. And, you know, it made no sense to me, but it certainly explained the things. And I've had other experience in other jobs where we have pressure tests. I'm sure some of you all are familiar with such a thing. If you're going to have a tank that's going to hold oxygen, acetylene, or whatever other gas, or propane, it might be good to know that that canister, that tank, is going not to explode on you when next time you fill it up. So they have pressure tests. And so those are things that we are familiar with. We're familiar with our own vehicles. We need to make sure that we put it on the road. That as we're traveling on the road on deputation, make sure that we stop by the mechanic before a problem happens. Make sure everything gets checked out. Things get tested. Because we don't want to be on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. and a heavy downpour like on Saturday. Thankfully, everything for our vehicle, it was just fine. We had no issues. There's some tense moments of heavy rain and heavy water, but the Lord has preserved us. But I say all that because we know with machines that we depend on, whether it's our livelihood or our own lives, that it's good to do a pressure test from now, every now and then. It's good to make sure that these equipment, these machines that we depend on, get tested. Whether or not they are sound and still have the integrity to work as they are supposed to. Because we know stories about machines and tanks that fail. People lose their lives and lose arms and legs and scarred for life because the things have failed, because they've been neglected. When it comes to our faith this evening, I think we might need a little bit of a pressure test. Now, I'm not using this message in the sense of causing doubt or causing questions. Matter of fact, John chapter 20, verse 31, if you'll turn with me there, and we'll read the purpose of the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, verse 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Jude tells us, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Can I say this evening that there's probably no greater decision than that decision for salvation? Have you tested your faith? This evening, let us look at some faith. If you look at verse 23 of John chapter 2, we find that Jesus is in Jerusalem at the Passover. Now, John chapter 1, we find John the Baptist had revealed to the world the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He revealed them to Jews. Now, this should have been for the Jews a very exciting time in their history. Their Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, had finally come. What a joy that should have been when John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God. He said, you fellas, you're used to sacrificial lambs year after year. And Hebrews tells us we know that the blood of those lambs are not going to save anybody, not for sufficient for anyone. But year after year, you've seen the lambs of men being sacrificed. But I show to you the Lamb of God. Not just the sin of your family, not just the sin of a nation, but is taketh away the sin of the world. This should have been an exciting, an eye-opening time. John chapter 2, we find the beginning of Jesus' ministry at the marriage supper at the Cana of Galilee, and all the way through some of the choosing of some of his disciples. And then you go towards the middle of chapter 2, you find Jesus showing up at the temple the first time. And that should have been another exciting time that the Passover Lamb of God has arrived to the temple. That should have been a great day. But what did Jesus find? He found sellers, changers of money. They're selling livestock, and he chased them out. And we find that while he was in that Jerusalem, after that, the chasing out of the driving out of the sellers as well as the livestock out of the temple, we find that he remained in Jerusalem for the feast. What does it say here? In Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name. And so there is a time of 7 days. You've got the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. My purpose is not to teach about the biblical feast, but those two feasts back to back, total of 7 days, and Jesus was there in Jerusalem. What do you think Jesus was doing in Jerusalem for those 7 days? I'm pretty sure he's preaching, and he was teaching. But in addition to preaching and teaching, he performed some miracles. John chapter 3 goes into Nicodemus and that private conversation he had with Jesus, and Jesus said, oh, we know these miracles that you've done. We know that no one can do these things except God be with them. You are a man sent from God. And we find that there were other people besides as we found in our passage here, that as it said in verse 23, many believed in his name. Now, as a missionary going to Kenya, I must say that I want this, that after I preach and teach, spend time laboring among the Kenyans, that I want to see people to say, I believe. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. That would be an exciting time, but there's a little bit of a change in the passage that we have just read. It doesn't, instead of something that is exciting, it turns into something that might be causing us to test a little bit. Many believed in his name. What was the excitement about? Could it be that these people believed in the name of Jesus Christ after hearing God the Son preach? Never a man preached as Jesus Christ did. Amen. What? I just have too much of an active imagination, but I would have loved to have heard Jesus preach. Amen. What a message. Laying open clearly and plainly, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf so that I could understand. That would have been an exciting thing. Was it that that got people excited? What was the spark of the faith of these many mentioned there in Jerusalem? Well, we find many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Not about the message, the miracles. Now, that's an exciting thing, to see miracles. And they believed in him. But what is the source of faith according to Scripture? Can I take it to Romans chapter 10? Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I'll read verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And let's skip to verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. According to the scripture that we've just read, the source of saving faith, the source of faith is not miracles, not emotional experiences, but it is by the hearing of the word of God. So as we look at this account here with the many who believed in his name, I want us to consider that their faith was conditional. What kind of faith do they have? As we look and examine the faith here of the many there in Jerusalem, what kind of faith did they have? Well, their faith was conditional. It was not the preaching of the word of God that stirred up faith in Christ. What was their belief based in? Miracles. Now, in Kenya, we have things they like to call crusades. I don't know if they still do so much here in the States. They may call it something different. But they call them crusades there in Kenya, and the charismatic groups will come in. They'll rent out a stadium that they have there, Nyayo Stadium and such, and they'll advertise for. Sometimes I have to look at think of these English words again. The Kenyans, they know English, but it's not. They don't have a large vocabulary, so we're very simple. So some of these other words, I got to scrap out of the bottom of the barrel and try to remember what I'm saying here. And so they advertise for months. We're going to have the right Reverend Honorable Apostle so-and-so. Yes, they do have long titles. They love titles. And all these titles, he's coming, and he will be healing. You just come. And so they advertise it all over the place, and everybody get excited, and they go to these crusades, and they play the music. And I looked up, one of these guys is very very famous Kenyan. His name is Award, and he is, I watched one of his on YouTube, one of his healing services. I didn't hear any preaching. Heard a lot of loud music playing, a lot of people getting excited, and a lot of people coming up can we call them shills maybe a little bit, where they're plants and they come up and they were healed. And people get excited. And then they pass the offering plate. Dishonest, as we saw this morning. Crafty. But they get excited. And in my dealings with Kenyans during our evangelism time, there's more than once, I've had Kenyans tell me about their salvation. Well, I had this experience. And let me tell you, the music was great. And I was moved and I went forward and the preacher prayed over 1,000 of us. And so I know I'm saved. Have you tested your faith? I would ask them. Our faith is not conditional. I'm saying that because when these many who believed in Jesus at this time, they saw him doing the miracles and they believed him to be the Messiah they were expecting. Now, I have to mention this. Over the generations, the Levites kind of dropped the ball a little bit. It was their job to teach the people the Word of God. You can view that in the Old Testament, and that was their purpose, to teach the people the law. But unfortunately, there was an accusation that Jesus himself made of those who were to teach people the law. You are teaching, he says, for doctrines, the commandments of men. Over the generations, the Messiah that was revealed in the Old Testament had been changed into someone mystical by the Levites. And so they were raising the bar of expectation incredibly high. So that when the Messiah came and was pointed out as the Lamb of God, no, that's not him. When God's Passover walks into the temple, that's not you. He chased out, drove out the sellers and the livestock. And when it came to people, the Levites, they came forward and said, "What's your authority? By what authority do you do these things?" And you can tell they weren't convinced by Jesus' answer, because 3 years later, before he was crucified, he did the same thing again. Had to drive out the sellers and the livestock. Their faith was conditional. They believed in him so long as he fulfilled their expectations. They expected the Messiah to do miracles. They expected the Messiah to set up the kingdom on earth. And the Jesus that came was not the Messiah they were expecting. And so shortly after, their expectations were not met, and they left him. Nah, you're not of us. Their faith was conditional. Jesus' purpose was not just to perform miracles, to feed thousands from 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. It wasn't just that. It was to preach, to teach people the Word of God. But that's not what they wanted. No, we don't have time for this teaching and preaching. Their faith was conditional. This evening we'll also see that their faith was temporary. The word believed. I know when I was in school, I did not like English grammar. So unfortunately, it comes into play this evening. Believed. What tense is believed in John chapter 2, verse 23? Is it not past tense? Believed. That means it's over and done. There was a moment in time where they had belief, but it has passed. When the miracles were done and Jesus had moved off the scene, so was their faith. Their faith was temporary. They believed when they saw their miracles. Now I want to make a comparison. In John chapter 2, verse 23, it says, many believed in his name. Compare that to John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12, as we are near there, I'll read that. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They were doing the right thing, but in comparison the two words, believed and believe, believed is past tense, over and done. Believe is continual. We have this tense in Swahili. We call it the habitual tense. It's something that is ongoing. We use it every morning I wake up. And so we say, kila asubuhi mimi huamka. So we have this tense that has, this is something that's regular. Every day, this is what I do. That's John 1:12, believe. Something that's continuing. It's not just something that happened one time as a one-time event. This is something that had a beginning and continues. But the believed past tense in John chapter 2, verse 23 was a one-time event. It was over and done. Their faith was temporary. John chapter 20, verse 31, we had read that already. The purpose of John is that we might believe on his name. So they had kind of the right idea, but they didn't stick with it. Their faith was temporary. It was over and done. Their faith excited by their expectations. When it came to these miracles, boy, they were excited. They had an emotional experience, but their faith was over and done. Did you know that they believed their religious leaders over the Word of God? Throughout Christ's ministry, the religious leaders were fighting against him. This is not the Messiah. We don't know who this guy is. And they were turning the people away from God. So rather than directing people to God's word, they turned the people's hearts away to themselves. I want to compare Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we find John the Baptist had a time where he doubted. John chapter 11, verses 2 through 6. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go, show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. What was Jesus doing? He didn't tell John, Yes, I am the Messiah. I am he that should come. He directed John the Baptist back to God's word. You got any questions? Look to God's word. There were specific prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah and the works that would follow him. He said, John, you know scripture. Go back to the scripture and compare. And your own disciples are carrying testimony to you that Jesus Christ is completely and exactly fulfilling prophecies of the Messiah. Nobody else could do that. When it comes to our faith, in those times in our lives where we might have, maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're not like me in the way that throughout my Christian life, there have been times where I've questioned and doubted and struggled in my faith. Even in times of testing, God would be testing and I would be struggling. In 2014, my sister Kimberly passed away. She was 28 years old. She had the flu. And a few days after catching the flu, she passed away. That's a heartbreaking scenario for us. But I remember there standing in front of my sister's casket. And me as the older brother, remember looking at my sister's body and asking in my heart, is she safe? Is she okay? She had a testimony of salvation that from when she was 8 years old. And intellectually, I believed that she was in heaven. But in that moment, is she okay? I wanted to know for sure that my sister was fine and in heaven. And I questioned. And the Lord spoke to my heart in that moment. He said, do you trust me to keep my word? He didn't say, just like John the Baptist, he didn't say, Billy, she's fine. Mm-mm. I've told you, do you trust me? When it comes to the measure of our faith, we have to answer for ourselves that question. Do you trust me to keep my word? Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us, sinners. Do you trust him? He died so that we might live a life in him. Do you trust him to lead your life? This morning was about a broken vessel. Do you trust him in the breaking? I know breaking hurts. I was sharing with somebody earlier today that a few months before my sister passed, the Lord was working on my heart about my own rut in my Christian life that I was in. And I said, God, I feel it. I am in a rut. Would you break me? And he did. Now, I'm not saying the Lord took my sister's life so that he would break me. No, he knew what was coming and began working on my heart that something good could come from something so hard. He broke my heart, and it hurts. But do you trust him? Can you trust God in your daily life? I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I believe you're leading me to do this, and I don't see how I can do it. Do you trust him? There are many who answer that question, no, I can't. We have seen their faith was conditional. As soon as their expectations of God was not met, they're done. How many have we said, well, God did not do this, and because God didn't do this, I'm done with him. We all know individuals like that. When it comes to this temporary faith, it was a very trying to be careful in how I say things. This temporary faith, there are those who get excited in special meetings and they make decisions on the fly. And yet, I'll call it the church camp decisions. There's many times in church camp decisions were made. And we get all excited after being a week of camp. I promise I will read my Bible every day, and all these promises we make in church camp. And then what happens a week later when we're at home? We forget our promise. It was a temporary decision, wasn't it? Their faith was temporary. So long as they were in that moment of excitement, they believed. But when that moment was done, so was their faith. And here's the unfortunate part of their faith. Their faith, not only was it conditional, not only was it temporary, it was also not sufficient for salvation. Let's continue reading in John chapter 2. Remind ourselves what Jesus said in verse 24 and 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. I'd like us to look at that word committed. But Jesus did not commit himself. If you were to borrow your Strong's Concordance and look up that word commit, you will find it is from the same root as the word believed in verse 23. The same word. Believed in 23. Many believed in his name, but Jesus did not, and it's the same word. He did not have faith in them. When they said, Jesus, we believe in you, he says, I don't believe it. Imagine that. Me going to God and say, Lord, I believe you. And he would imagine him telling me, no, I don't believe it. Their faith was not sufficient. Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Let me read this quote here. The word commit is the same as believed in verse 23, but the tense is changed. The belief of those responding to the signs marks, it's talking about the miracles, marks a completed act. The belief of Jesus indicates a habitual, continued action. They believed in him. He had no continuing faith in them. Because he knew all men. He knew the nature and the character of men. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, what does it say about us? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10 then, of course, gives us the answer. God. God tries the reins in heart. When it comes to this saving faith, I want you to understand that Jesus knows the measure of our faith. We may deceive others, our pastor, our friends, our church members, but Jesus knows the measure of our faith. And I just want to remind ourselves this evening, I'm not trying to get people to doubt or to question salvation. The purpose of John is what? That ye might believe. There are times for a checkup, a pressure test. That we look at ourselves and our own lives and hearts, and we must be honest and truthful to ourselves. When I look at Kenyans and I talk with them, They have faith. But when I question them and ask them about their faith, can we do some pressure test? Can we do a little bit of questioning about the faith? They get upset at me. Because the revelation is they're trusting the words and doctrines of men rather than God's word. Their faith is based on what some guy said and not what the Bible says. This one lady I was talking with, she was quite animated, can I say it that way, in her response to me. And I just asked her, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And she was just letting me know. She was on her way to heaven and she was saying a whole lot of things. None of it's scriptural. So I happened to have my Bible with me on, well, it's what we do on evangelism. I'd have my Bible, so I held it out to her and said, just one request. What you just told me, can you show me in this book where it is? And she said, well, no, but what do we tell the Kenyans? Every one of us will stand before God and will give an account of ourselves. What is the rule book? What is the law book? Right here. Don't you think we should know it? I don't like being blindsided. It's happened at different jobs that I've had over the years where something happens and I get blindsided. I wasn't expecting that. We have no excuse and no reason to be blindsided at Judgment Day because we've got the answers right here. This is what God's going to judge us from. So when it comes to the measure of our faith, I think we need to know it and test it. I'm not saying question, I'm not saying doubt. Because Jesus knows the measure of our faith. Amen. You're not fooling him. And so that has always been my prayer as we visit our Kenyans there and being able to go to home, I'm asking the Lord that would you show them what kind of faith they have. Many people refuse. But some listen. And I thank the Lord for those that we've been able to lead to the Lord while we have been there this last term. It has been a very challenging time because you have to, as we saw in the video, 86% of Kenyans claim Christianity. You have to overturn their faith in order for them to be saved. They have to be lost first. So when it comes to the measure of our faith, Jesus knows it. Have you ever put your own faith to the test? I know God will test our faith, but have you put it to the test yourself? I'm not talking specifically about saving faith. I'm talking about your faith in God. Do you trust him to keep his word in your daily life? And those events that are coming that are hard or difficult, can you trust him? God, I don't know what you're doing. Will you still trust God? Even when you don't know. There's a young lady at one of the churches, a Bible college student, and she said, I want to serve God, and I've surrendered, but I don't know what his perfect will is. Do you have any advice? And I said, well, don't ask a preacher to give advice, okay? And so I just simply said, there are times when, like in Jeremiah, going to the potter's house. God said, go to the potter's house. I've got a message for you, but go to the potter's house. And I want you to see something. There are times in our life where God wants to show us some things first before he reveals his will. And so there have been times in my life where I have been in that wandering. And there's things that the Lord needed to work in my life first in order for me to understand that particular truth. And so the question I had for this young lady, can you trust him when he doesn't speak to your heart about this certain matter? Abraham, where are you going? I'm following the Lord, I'm obeying, to a new country. How are you going to get there? Do you know where you're going? I don't know, but I trust God to get me there. When it comes to our faith, can you trust God? Jesus knows the measure of our faith. This evening, can we be honest with ourselves? I'm not asking anybody to doubt anything. But if we put a little pressure on our faith and something gives, could it be we need some building up? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the time we have together. I ask that you help us.